Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. A couple of nights ago, I had something kind of crazy happen. I know this sounds very dramatic, but let me retell the story because it leads to some other things that happened in my process, you know, of me, of being me. It was Tuesday. Tuesday is my farmer's market day. You know, woke up 4 a.m., did all my products. I even made apple strudel. I made flan. I made some other items, you know, thinking that, oh, this will sell really well. And I did. I had a pretty good market day. It wasn't as cold as normal. It's getting warmer. So the hot chocolate didn't sell, but that's okay. And all in all, it was a pretty good night. I did sell my special items. I sold all my apple strudel. I did sell all my flan. And it just ends up being a long day overall, you know, because by the time I get home, I'm ready for bed, you know, and I just want to be in bed, but I still have to clean up some of the things from the market. And that day I brought in some items from the car because I thought I would do another market on Thursday and I don't want to go and drop everything off at storage. So I sit down, you know, I clean up all my things. I sit down on the couch, watch a little TV. I go upstairs, like my husband's already sleeping. Like I shower, you know, brush my teeth. I'm laying in bed and I maybe was just laying in bed for like 10 minutes, you know, and I start to hear like everything's dark. I start to hear like some arguing. It sounds like arguing. And a part of my window is open. Like I have curtains, but a part of the window isn't covered by curtains because I have orchids. And at this point I have like four different orchids from gifts, like orchids that I've kind of collected because they were going to die otherwise. You know, the usual why I get plants story. But these orchids love this spot. This is a spot during the day where there's direct sun. I know they say you're not supposed to put orchids in direct sun, but they love it. Like, seriously. And they grow back every year now. I'm getting all these beautiful flowers every year. There's an area where the curtain is open only because I wake up at 4 a.m., 4:30, and my husband wakes up a little bit later, but he never opens the curtains. So I leave this tiny spot just open all the time so that even during the day they get light, because if the curtains aren't open, that's not good for orchids, right? So anyway, there's a spot that I never close, and I'm laying there, everything's dark, and I start to hear screaming, you know, and I'm like, oh, like that's, there's something going on, you know. I walk over to the window. And to the right of my window, like we live in an apartment complex. We are in a townhouse. So there's a downstairs and an upstairs. And then on one side of us, you know, we just share a wall of a neighbor. And then it goes down in units down the line. There's maybe like four units. And then there's a space. And then across from them, there's like six units, you know, and it's, there's like these walkways, but the alleyways in between, they're very narrow. What I started to see coming from this other unit, maybe from the six unit row, like further down the row, I started to see smoke. You know, I can't see the actual unit because it's covered by another building, but I started to see smoke, and it was coming up like by, right by a palm tree. And I'm like, oh, like, and I start to say, like, babe, you know, like trying to tell my husband who's snoring. He's like, out. And and I'm like, oh shit, this is like serious. There's fire, you know. And then I start to hear windows exploding. And then the flames start to get really big and they're coming up by the roof. You know, like full-on flames. And there's people screaming. Like, I don't hear any alarms, nothing. You know, it's so quiet that I can hear windows exploding and screaming, but I don't hear any fire alarms. I feel like I should have heard those. And then I go up to my husband. I'm like, there's a fire. And he jumps out of bed, goes over to the window to like see where I'm kind of pointing. And then he turns around. He's like, pack your things now. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? You know, I mean, he's not wrong, but that was the last thing I was thinking because it's not like next door. So I'm like, what's he talking about? At the same time, okay, maybe he's right. So in that moment, I'm just standing there thinking, what the fuck do I pack? What do I pack? You know how I'm always talking about like my things, my stuff, like I have a lot of things. And I mean, this is a nightmare, you know? I mean, there's a unit not far away that's literally on fire. And this is real, okay? So he's just like, pack your documents, and that's it. Like, and I'm like, what? So I go over to my box where I have my documents, but it's like not even a small box, you know? It's like, there's a lot of documents. So I go over, you know, I get my papers. It's just like a lot of documents and passport and I don't know, just like papers, right? There's a lot of papers. But I know now that I need to organize them because that's excessive, right? My papers are excessive. So I get a bag. I put my documents in there. And then I grab my computer and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting my computer. And he's like, that's not important. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, it is. I get my computer. I get a change of, and it's a laptop. It's not like I'm putting in, you know, this big unit. Yes, it's a larger laptop, but whatever. Like, it's still, there's still like all this information on it. You know, if I have nothing left and all I have are my documents and a computer, at least I cover like the basics, you know? And then like he goes outside, you know, and he's looking at the situation. He's like, stay here. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I woke him up, you know, and now he's like number one in charge, which is fine, you know, but he goes outside and to assess the situation. Outside, there's people already with suitcases. There's full-on suitcases packed. People standing outside, like other buildings have evacuated. Apparently, he goes to the firefighters and he's like, firefighters that have arrived because he called 911 and I'm sure other departments call too. So there's like four trucks. He goes outside, he helps the firefighters open, you know, the water hose because I guess it's harder to open. So he helps them and he told me that later. I didn't see it. And in that time, I'm looking for things that I need to bring with me, you know? So I take a frame, like a picture of me and my husband. I take like a change of clothes because I, you know, if all goes wrong, at least I have one change of clothing, you know? And he's like running back and forth, you know? And he's like, it's bad. It's really bad. And I'm like, okay, like shit. And you know, so I'm like downstairs now packing my phone charger, like just basics, you know, and I'm thinking like the firefighters are here. So I don't think the fire is going to jump six units. I guess if all else goes wrong, you know, you never know, right? Because our unit is like the furthest away. But anyway, then he comes back inside and he's like, it's under control. Like the fire's out. And it was like the craziest, like 20 minutes. I swear, it's the craziest 20 minutes. And then I'm just like, oh, wow. You know, like that was scary. I was thinking that was scary. And we just kind of, we sat down and we're like, yeah, that was scary. You know, like it was real. So I tried to get renter's insurance a couple months ago, but I couldn't. You know, I guess they saw on their computer that our apartment complex has too many trees, like, for them. So I had to take a picture of outside my unit, and then they're like, there's too many trees. And honestly, there aren't. Basically, the insurance just wants no trees. So they flagged, I guess, some areas that they won't insure. So they're like, we can't insure you because of the trees, like, around your apartment unit. And I'm thinking, like, what the hell? You know, if this were real, then that's it. I think the minimum you can have is, like, renter's insurance. But in this case, in California, it's such a sketchy situation with fire that now insurance companies aren't even insuring a lot of houses or apartments because they're close to trees. So that's messed up. And it's after the fact that I'm thinking, what do I really need? You know, we don't need much. Like, I found that out when I traveled to Switzerland. You know, I knew I was going to be there for sure 3 months. And I had this small carry-on bag. You know, of course, I had one of those bags inside a bag where you pump out the air. You know, the air pumps. Like the pink air pumps that people look weirdly at when you go through security. I went there with such a small amount. Yes, I came back with two bags, but that was like a year later. You know what I mean? Because in that 3 months, I was going to travel to Switzerland. I had planned to work there at least 6 weeks. And then I was going to fly to Greece, Denmark, Morocco. I think that was it. I don't know. But of course, none of it happened because a month later, when I'm there, COVID starts, and then everything is unexpected, right? But I only started with this small bag. And this is a small bag that I packed on Tuesday, you know, with the fire. I didn't have a bag inside a bag because everything was too hectic. It's not like I could pack in peace, you know? It's never that situation. But I was thinking, I need to have a small bag ready, you know, like a fire bag, right? Like, I hope it never gets to that point. But living in that situation, like living that situation, it made it real. And yes, I would hate to lose everything that I've had for years in storage, you know, but in the end, I can live without it. I'm okay without it. You know, having these things. I was in therapy the other day, because now I go back to therapy. Just because life, you know, life affects us in so many ways and we don't realize it until we actually start talking about it. Like, yes, I have this podcast and it's not like I'm sobbing and wailing, you know, on this podcast. Okay, maybe some episodes, but it's healthy to talk about things, you know, just overall things that bother us and they affect us in so many ways. And this fire affected me, even though my things are okay, but it made me realize why I have all these things around me, you know, and they comfort me, you know, and maybe these are signs of like hoarding. I don't know. Okay, I'm not at that level, but I do have a lot of things. And for me, I'm connected to things in an emotional way, you know, like to me, these aren't just things. Everything I have, I remember exactly when I got it, what the situation was. Right now, I'm looking at a silhouette of myself. It's small. It's not like I have this giant silhouette of myself in the room, but it's a small silhouette of when I went to Euro Disney. My family, my parents, they surprised me with it for my 11th birthday. And we flew from England to France. And we went to Euro Disney, and that was like the opening of Euro Disney. And I had a silhouette made, you know, in one of these like Disney stores. And I have that here, you know, or I have pictures of my friends looking at a cake that I made. I have a picture of myself as a baby with my baby brother, you know, and I have my awards here from high school and college, you know, like my life. You know, and everywhere I travel, I get an item. You know, I have my masks that I got from every trip I've been to Italy. I have these beautiful papier-mâché golden masks. And it's not like I need these things. These things are not essential to live. But they make me feel as if I've experienced things. And is that messed up? Is that weird to want to have these things around me? And now I'm entering an emotional moment. But when I went to the therapist, I talked about, and I've mentioned this before on one of my episodes, but our lives are fast. They are. I know when you're in the midst of things, there's impatience and you're like, when will it move on to the next phase? You know, when is this next step happening? Like, at least I always feel that because I'm so impatient and I want to just get to the next thing, you know, and I guess that's a wrong way of seeing it. You know, I'm always like rushing through steps, which I know I need to like slow it down. And that's why I enjoyed acting so much, because you were forced to be in the moment. You were forced to connect with the other member in the play across from you, and you had to connect and slow it down. You know, I'm in my head so much of my life, always looking at the next step. You know, what is this next thing? That maybe sometimes I feel like just this impatience, you know? I'm not living 100% in the moment, because sometimes that moment is painful for me, or it's not how I thought it would be, right? So I'm trying to always create the next step that is what I want. But the thing is, life is while you're busy making other plans, right? Like as I'm thinking of these next steps, my life is happening. Like I have to live through the day to day to get to whatever I perceive happiness to be, right? And I have happiness in these small moments. You know, I'm always chasing sometimes this idea of what I want my life to be, but my life is happening now. I'll see these movies or I'll see old people. Like there's this woman in the gym. She's just this tiny little being. I wonder what she looked like in her 20s or 30s, you know? She looks at least 90 and she's in a wheelchair. She has this nurse like helping her, and she goes to this aqua class. I don't know how many times a week, but I see her there a lot, you know, when I go swimming, especially on Wednesdays. She can't really do much, you know, and this nurse does everything for her. And I'm thinking, is that all we have? You know, we live our life, you know, we do our thing, like whatever we feel passionate about. We start to get sick, we start to feel our bodies changing, and perhaps all of a sudden we can't do those things anymore, you know? And then that's it. You know, you go to like an old person's home, God forbid you get Alzheimer's, you start to lose your memory. Like your memory is all you have, right? Like when I travel, I get some small things, you know? Like when I went to Japan, I got this little cat because that represents good luck, right? Having this little cat waving. I got a little cat. I got a kimono. I got these little sake cups. I got this big tea cup. Okay, now I'm going through it, and I did get a few things from Japan. I got like self-made chopsticks, you know, like special chopsticks with silk paper. Okay, I got a few things, right? But I put those things in the apartment, and every time I see them, I'm like, oh, that was when I went to Japan. You know, it's a special thing. You know, and I do this every place I travel. Like Hawaii, I got coffee. Like I was trying to get less things that just sit around. I did get a photograph of lava flowing, you know, and I have that. So when I see it, I'm like, oh, Hawaii. You know, it's comforting for me to have these things around me, because it makes me think of these beautiful trips. But that's what life is. It's a sequence of all these beautiful memories. And when you don't have those memories anymore, like, what are you? You know, if your brain starts to go, what are you? You know, you're just this, like, vegetable. You're just this living person, right? But you don't know what happened yesterday. And that is the saddest thing for me. I was thinking, do I need all these things around me? No, I don't. Like, I can just have the basics, all right? I don't need all these things. But having these things makes me happy. Like, it comforts me. It makes me feel like I've had a life. I've done something in my life. I've taken these amazing trips. I've bought these things that I think are beautiful. And they make my apartment a home. It's not just this echoey room. You know, I have these beautiful plants that are growing in the light that comes into my room. I have these beautiful pictures of the places I've lived, you know, of the Grand Canyon, of the Aspen Mountains. And that makes my apartment a home. But my therapist was like, well, can you narrow things down? You know, like, she's not saying I need to get rid of these memories or these things. But the thing is, sometimes my things, they've affected me because I've moved so many times. You know, I feel like the more I move, I should be having less things for someone who has moved so much. But it's not really out of choice that I've necessarily moved so much. It's because I've wanted to learn more things or change my life just because I could. The thing is, sometimes I feel like my things, they've put me in conflict. Like, sometimes I want to be able to not have as many things because it makes me less flexible, you know, but I don't know necessarily how to disconnect from that, you know, and I feel like these are like signs of hoarding. Like, I have these paintings. When I was in my car crash in LA, you know, where I have a hairline sprain in my spine of my car accident where this Mini Cooper smashed into my car at 50 miles an hour when I was at a red light. And that was one of the worst times of my life. But during that time, the doctors only gave me drugs. I forget which drug, but it was strong. And I basically couldn't do anything. I still felt the pain. It was kind of in there in the background, but my head was a mess and I couldn't do anything. I just laid there. And I thought, no, this is not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take these drugs. You know, so I went to an art store and I bought all these paints. I bought these big canvases and I started painting. And I got addicted. You know, I couldn't go to work. Like, physically, I couldn't. And because sometimes during the day I would pass out, you know, just because of the nerves, like down my spine, up my brain. Like, I don't know. It was a bad time. So all I would do all day is paint. I did some beautiful works of art that I'm really proud of, you know, and that was the beginning for a few years where I would paint regularly. So I have these paintings in my apartment and I look at them and I'm like, wow, I love what I painted, you know, and yes, it reminds me of that time, but the biggest part that I'm most proud of is that I made it through. You know, I made it through to the other side, and now I feel positive about that time. Like, yes, I have a box with all these paints. Like, I have all these hobbies of things that I enjoy to do, you know, and they need corresponding tools and boxes. So I'm really good at filling closets. And it's not like we have this huge amount of closets. It does cause things to be very full, and that frustrates my husband, you know, because he's not used to that and it gives him like claustrophobic feelings. I don't understand it because to me, things make me comforted, but it's the opposite for him. So for our relationship to work, I have to work through this, you know, why I'm so, you know, hooked on all these things. I've been thinking lately, why do I need these things? You know, what does it do to me? And I guess the biggest thing is, it just makes me feel that I've had experiences. It makes me feel that I've done some really cool things that I'm proud of. And that if tomorrow something should happen to me, maybe I'm not forgotten. I don't know, maybe not for a small group of people, because, you know, it's not like I don't feel like I've changed lives, right? Like, I make pastries. I'm not like a doctor or, you know, like, I give small joys, small pleasures to people who eat my pastries. It's not life changing, you know, like, yes, I've traveled and I've tried amazing things where I've traveled that I'll never forget because they tasted so amazing. You know, I don't know if I've made that kind of an impact. Like, people keep coming back to my farmer's market because they like my food, you know, but it's not life changing. And I don't know if I'm looking for life changing, you know, I just want to be surrounded by my accomplishments and my memories. I think about when my mom died a lot, because when I flew out to Arizona, there were just piles of her things, like, put into the living room. We basically had to donate them. And people were coming by the house constantly, like, giving their wishes and wanting to see me. And in that time, the rest of the family went through things and put things in boxes, like, constantly. There were so many things. And I wanted to be there. I wanted to be able to go through all those things. But at the same time, it was so overwhelming that I couldn't. But I didn't want to miss anything. Because when it's in that box and it's going to be donated, it's gone. And it's like, without those things, what was her life? You know, did it exist? And it's almost like I want to take some pieces to prove, yes, it did exist. She was important to me. And it's almost like the more I have of her, the more important she is. But that's not what having things means. It doesn't mean the more things you have, the more important they are, or the more important you are. You know, it's memories. It's in your head, right? It affected you. How it makes you feel when you think of that person. You know, but then when I see these things that I kept of hers, I think of her, you know, and that is comforting. And it's kind of messed up, like, how the mind works. My mind thinks, oh, I need all these things so that I don't forget this person, or that I don't forget this trip, or that I don't forget this part of my life that I've lived through that was so terrible, you know, but I've made it past that. You know, I don't need things for that, but I can't help to not have those thoughts that I need these things, you know? So this is like some deep therapy, and talking about it has made me realize, you know, why I feel that I need these things, why it's comforting, you know, and I need to start going through these things, because some of these things I don't think I need anymore. Like, when I packed boxes from Aspen to here, I found some of my mom's clothes, you know, and she was a lot bigger than me. So these clothes were just like giant, you know, but I didn't keep them to wear them. I just kept them initially because I wanted to smell them. You know, every person has this smell, right? You have this initial smell and your clothes smell like it. And I just kept some of her things to smell them. You know, like, I kept this scarf. I kept this sweater, you know, that she always wore. And I just needed those things. And I've been able to donate some things, but it's not an easy process. And some things I won't even look at because I can't deal with it. You know, like, I have these things, but I can't go through them because it's too hard. At the same time, I know I need to go through them because I have to face that. You know, I have to face these feelings because it's not healthy. It's not healthy to have too many things. So my goal is to reduce some items, and I can't think of it as a whole because then it just totally defeats me. Like, I feel defeated and I don't even start. I have to look at small pockets. Like, do I need these books? Do I need these spices? You know, because it's not just I keep things of my mom. Like, I do this with everything I have. You know, I don't just have 10 spices. I have 100. You know, like, I do have excess of everything because I feel like I'm going to need it. And it's not that I don't use things. I do. But some things I use very, very rarely, you know, that I probably don't need to keep. But that's not how my brain works. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to need that. I'll keep it. Or I can't bear the idea of useful things being thrown away. You know, so like at work in Colorado, someone didn't need mustard seed or something random, you know, and I use mustard seed, but not like in droves, you know, so I got this huge bag of mustard seed. I've started it, but I'm going to go through it probably in like years. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't bear to just throw that bag of mustard seed away. Because I might need it, you know, and that's my mind. Like, I didn't experience the war, so I don't know where these like fears of shortage come from. But my mom was very much a collector, and in a lot of ways she was almost worse than me, but I feel like I'm becoming that. And so I'm trying to work through it to have it be a healthier version of me. You know, I can't just keep things and not look at them, right? Like, that's the point of having things, so that you can enjoy them and look at them. But if I'm just going to keep them in a box because it's too painful to look at, well, what's the point of that? The last few days have been emotional, and this fire kind of triggered it even more. Because if everything burns down, what then? Would I then be healthier? Or would I feel this tremendous loss because I just lost everything? Like, probably the latter, and I'd need like even more therapy. But maybe it would be refreshing. Maybe it's this like other layer. I don't know. I don't want to experience that. I have to start going through things, even if it's just a small area. A drawer, you know, small things instead of keeping everything. And before I moved here, I donated a lot. I got through a lot of things. Like, they're a lot for me, you know. I went through like 5 trash bags of clothing and I donated them. Like, that's a lot, you know, but I still have a lot. And to somebody who's really good at throwing things away or not having a lot of things, my things will always be a lot. Because I'm not that person. My mind works differently. So I'm always going to have more things than too little. My house will never be echoey. You know, that's just how it is. But I can go through drawers. I can go through shelves, you know, and just have less things. So that's going to be my project. I feel like that's really painful. That's going to be hard for me. Like, it sounds like an easy thing, maybe. To someone else. But for me, this is like super, super hard. But I want to, the things that I find from my mom that I've put away because it's too painful to look at, I want that to be out so I can enjoy it and think of that positive memory, not of the pain. You know, so it's a total like mind freak, basically. I feel like, you know, our problems just keep getting more and more and more, right? Unless you work through them. The issues we have don't become less and less. You know, the more we age, the more these issues are magnified because maybe we couldn't let go like years prior. You know, but that's what going through things is. It's like this cleaning, right? This clearing of the mind and body. I'm going to start it. I'm going to be really good at putting it off, you know, because that's what we do, right? Things that are painful, we're really good at delaying and finding excuses for. And I know I am, you know, but there's a spice drawer that I want to start with. My mom had this wooden spice rack, really pretty. I think it was like $200. Like, it's really good quality. And I have it. I took one. Like, my mom got 2. My dad has 1, and I took the other one. Because I cook a lot. I took it because I do like spices, and it makes me think of her in a good way. But It's just been sitting there and I haven't actually used it for spices. You know, so that's like my first thing is to fill my spices into that rack. You know, and I've put it off for so long. I don't know why, because it's such a meticulous process. You know, and I've been here almost a year. I haven't organized. You know, so that's like my step one that I can start with and organize my spices. If there's an issue for you that's too painful to deal with when you think about it, you know, just ask yourself questions. Like, why do I feel this way when I think about it? And where is it coming from? You know, like we have to ask ourselves, why am I acting this way? Why am I being defensive? Why do I get upset? If we feel this way, there's always something behind it. And it usually leads to an emotional response or some traumatic event. I've always been a collector. I remember as a little girl, I loved collecting stickers. You know, I loved collecting Legos. You know, like I've always been a collector. And the things I've had have always led back to some emotional time with a family member, or my mind just makes those connections with the stuff I have. And I think there's all kinds of people. Some do that, some don't. I don't know. But I've always had a tendency for that. And I guess it's an addiction, if you will. You know, it's an addiction to things, to stuff. And my grandma, she was addicted to going shopping every day. You know I have those tendency in me. I'm really good at ordering on Amazon. Like, yes, I get things that I need or think I need, you know, but I would probably say I'm addicted to shopping. You know, I don't go in the store and get clothes anymore, but if you give me a gift card, I'll spend it like day two, maybe day one. The tendency are in me. They go back, families, generations. It's up to us to figure it out, to make a better version of ourselves so that we can clean house, you know, so to speak, like clean our minds. And that's what I'm working towards. So thank you for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.